a criminal who had been tried and convicted of crime and would be and was being put to death. But if you were of the spiritual sort, if you had been saved with the grace of God, you would be looking at that Savior, and even though you would have doubts about things that were going on with him, you would know that he was giving his life for you. I believe God's people can know that and do know that, and I believe they know it in all generations. You know, you go back to the Old Testament when the Jews carried the gospel message in a kind of a hidden form, if you will. But even then, those that were informed by the Spirit of God knew that those sacrifices, those daily sacrifices, and that annual sacrifice of the Lamb, and all of that, that it was, in fact, preaching a message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, we sometimes hear people say, well, now, people in the Old Testament were saved in a different way than they were in the New Testament. That's not so, folks. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Yesterday covers everything from the moment that God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul, and forever covers everything forward from there. And Jesus Christ is the same in all of that. And so the salvation that he wrought in the souls of old back in the times of the Jewish history, those souls were saved the same way that they're saved today, by the grace of God. And it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that is the power unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So that's the way it works with the plan and the kingdom of God. All right, that's it. I want us to turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Kings chapter 17. I've got quite a task before me this evening. I tried to weasel out of preaching this message on the Lord, but the Lord wouldn't let me. And the reason that I tried to weasel out was not because I was afraid of what it said, but because of the difficulty in conveying the message that the Lord has given me here. Because this portion of the Scripture of God that we're going to look at, beginning in the first chapter of the book of 2 Kings 17, is about what I call a mongrel religion. A mongrel religion. And the reason that I preach this message this evening is because I believe, folks, that what we find here in these accounts in 2 Kings 17, we find a parallel to what's going on in the United States of America today. We find the development in Israel in our text of a mongrel religion. And today in America, and perhaps across the world, we're discovering that the Christian religion in the world, at least in America, is becoming a mongrel religion. And if you don't know what mongrel means, you just look at a dog out there that's got three or four or five different breeds of dog in his genetic bloodline, and that's what we call a mongrel. And that's what I'm talking about. In 2 Kings 17, let's look at verse 1 as kind of an introduction. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea the son of Elah to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Here we want to start here because we want to begin this message by reminding everybody of what we mentioned this morning, that Samaria was essentially the government center of Israel. And you know, I mentioned this morning and explained the fact that on the one hand, we had the nation of Judah, which was the one tribe that God gave to Solomon's family when he took the kingdom of Israel away from Solomon because of his sin. He gave him his offspring, his genetic bloodline, to be rulers in Judah. But the other part was Israel, the other 11 tribes, if you will, and Israel was a nation of itself, separate from Judah, and the seat of government was this province and city, because it's both mentioned as a province and a city in the Bible. This province and city, Samaria, was the center of government. Now, I want us to think this evening of Samaria in the ancient nation of Israel, because I want to use This Samaria, Israel, is a type, as I've already suggested, to show in this message how a nation can be carried away from the Lord by displacement of parts of its people who know about the one true God and by the sins of that nation. Now let me say that again. We find in this type, or in the story about Israel in Samaria, we find a case where a nation has been rejected by the Lord because of the fact that they have sinned and left off serving God, and as a result of that rejection, God has taken away from the land of Samaria, Israel, the people who would know something of a truth about God. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with Bible history, this portion of the Scripture of God takes place at about the time the king of Assyria loaded up everybody in Israel and hauled them off to the Assyrian reigning capital and took them out of their country en masse to be servants to the king of Assyria. And so here we are at this place. Now, what happened to Israel in this account, I believe, is something that is happening very subtly to America right now. And we see in this generation the unfolding of things that we can type out in this account from the Old Testament about the nation of Israel. Now, folks, I think that in this age, when the people of God are beginning to be challenged by all kinds of things relative to sin and relative to God bringing judgment upon a nation, I believe it's time for God's people to pay close attention to what direction organized religion is moving in. I believe we as God's people maybe need to pay a little more attention to what's happening to Christianity in America. And I believe if we use this account in the 17th chapter of 2 Kings, we can get some insight into it. We need to be on guard to make sure that we don't go ourselves to the place where organized religion is going today, because it is going to the place to be a mongrel religion. And it's all because of the sin of the people of God, the sin of American people as a nation, and because God, because of that sin, is beginning to give up this country to judgment. And folks, we need to be aware of that, because we may well, as God's people, be tempted to go in the same pathway, the same direction that so many so-called religious people in America are going today. Have you ever noticed out when there's a pack of dogs out in somebody's front yard that if a fight starts up between two of those dogs, it won't be but a minute or two till every dog in the pack will be fighting. Have you ever noticed that? Now, have you ever noticed that, I don't know if any of you view wildlife, but I'm a wildlife biologist by trade, and have you ever noticed that out there in the field, if there's a herd of deer moving around, feeding in the back corner of the field, that if one of those deer takes off running, you've ever noticed that almost every deer in the herd will take off running too, triggered by that one deer that decides to run off for whatever reason they decide to run off. Well, folks, that's a kind of a creature response to danger, to threats. But the thing that I want you to think about is that the behavior of the rest of the animals in that group is triggered by what one will do. And we're at jeopardy of following in the path of that one running dog, of that one fighting dog, of that one running deer. We need to be aware of that as we think about what's happening in this age concerning mainstream religion, because we ourselves can be tempted to just get on the bandwagon of mainstream religion and go on along in the direction it's going in. But we don't need to be going there. We need to be on guard against that, regardless of whether it may look like we oppose everybody else or not. Now, we know that people act strangely when the crowd, when the mob moves. And so there's going to be a strong temptation, I believe, to the American people to go in the direction mainstream religion is going in. And folks, where it's going is not a good direction. So we know that human beings respond to that kind of thing and are greatly influenced by the so-called mob rule. As an example, for you to be really brought home to you how this works among humans, think what the folks do on Black Friday at Walmart. Think everybody gets caught up in that. Pretty soon people are trampling each other. And it's like a mob rule. There they go. Everybody running to get what they got to get, and they don't care who they knock out of the way going there. That's that mob response. And folks, it can happen when the world begins to be influenced by mainstream mongrel religion. We need to beware of it. Now let's look at these verses, and I hope we can go home with a lesson in our minds about how attention to God and His ways can evaporate when certain destructive elements are in place. Because that's what we see here in these verses. Looking again at our chapter, let's drop all the way down to the 13th verse of this chapter and read something here. Now, God has just got through mentioning in the previous verses how that Israel had sinned against Him. And in verse 13, He says, "Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, Turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets." You see right here, first of all, folks, and let's read verse 14 connected with that too. "Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God." What we see here is something that I think is a great type of what's happening today in religion and among the American people, even including all those that are both religious and not religious. Today, folks, there's a whole lot of preaching about serving the Lord and about being obedient to the Lord's principles and about not just reading and hearing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, but doing them. But let me ask you a question. For all the preaching, which is more than has ever been in the history of man, for all the preaching that's going on, how much doing is going on among professed believers? And how much doing is going on among the American people? And of course, your answer will probably be very little compared to how much preaching is going on. That's the case that we live with. That's the way it is here today in America. Why, preaching has covered the land. You can't hardly turn on an AM radio station without hearing some preacher, some local preacher, preaching on his 30-minute preaching time for the day. You can't hardly turn on a television set and scroll through 10 or 15 channels without hitting on a channel where there's some preacher preaching. Now, I'm not saying that those preachers are all preaching the truth, because they're not. But they're preaching and ostensibly claiming the Word of God, and for all of that proclaiming, how much doing are the American people doing about following the precepts of the Lord God of grace? Just answer that yourself and you'll know what I'm talking about. Now, the Lord Jesus kind of capped it all off in a place when He was talking, when He was rebuking His disciples and rebuking the Jews, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Amen. Folks, we can talk a big Jesus, but the real question is, are we going to do a big Jesus? That's what it's all about. Because we can say a whole lot of things, and we can quote a whole lot of stuff from the Word of God, but saying, discussing, talking about, and doing are two different, completely different things. Now, I'm afraid I find here in America today that there's a whole lot of talk, a whole lot of speaking, a whole lot of preaching, and very little doing as people go about their lives as though there was no God. As though they were their own God. That's what I find. Now let's look on in verse 15. "And they rejected His statutes and His covenant that He made with their fathers and His testimonies which He testified against them, and they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen, then that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. I know this one thing. If there's one thing that the Lord Jesus Christ taught about to the children of God that they should do and that they should practice and how they should be, it is that they should not do as the heathen do. And folks, yet, although the Bible is full of that kind of admonition, we find that today that is not the case among professed believers, and certainly in a nation that calls itself a Christian nation, that is not the way things are going. Let me ask you a question. Can you tell the difference today if you see 100 fellow citizens standing out there in a crowd and you watch them do the things they do and say the things they say and act the things they act? Can you tell the difference between lost people and saved people in that crowd? You might say, well, yeah, sometimes I can. But for the most part, you can't. You take a big crowd at a ball game, and you see what they do. Can you tell the difference between the lost and saved up there in the ranks? I don't think so. Why is that? Because today in America, folks, we're finding more and more that people who profess to be Christians are acting exactly like people who don't make any claim whatsoever to being Christians. You might say, Brother Myers, that's kind of a stiff statement. Well, let's just think about it a minute. I believe that today it's safe for me to say that the bars and the honky-tonks around this country are full of professing Christians right now. If they're open, some states don't have them open on Sunday. But let's take Monday night. And on Monday night, you'll see perhaps as many professing Christians in those honky-tonks as you will people that don't make any claim at all to salvation. What is that? I think it's what I'm talking about. What about this? Think about the local beaches that have been alive with humanity this summer. Go down to the local beach, and there you'll find just as many professing Christians walking around in their underwear as you will find people who make no claim to being saved whatsoever. Yeah, ladies and men, it's okay to wear just your underwear down at the beach today. Did you know that? In fact, you can wear less than your underwear because a bikini is less than your underwear. And it's accepted. It is the way to dress when you go to the beach. Listen, folks, it's okay, I guess. We'll let the law settle that issue with God at the great white throne. It's okay if they intend to do it as lost people, but it's not for the people of God to dress like the heathen. Our scripture text says they went in the way of the heathen, the very way that God charged them that they should not do like them. That's what I'm talking about. And so we find that in America today, I dare to say you cannot tell the difference between a lot of Christians or professing Christians and plain old lost people. They don't act different. They don't look different. Go to the rock concerts with all of their drugs and all of their booze and all of their unrestrained wildness. And they're in that crowd that is worshiping that rock idol up on the stage. You won't be able to tell the difference between the professed believer and the lost person. They're intermingled. They're, as God puts it here, they are doing even as the heathen are doing. They follow vanity, become vain, went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. You know, some people say that you're treading on legal ground, on legalism, when you start talking about how important it is that people act like they're believers. But have you ever done yourself a little survey in the Bible, reading what Jesus' teachings were about? And I challenge you to go home tonight and just scan through any of the gospel accounts and look at every teaching of Jesus. And when you're looking and reading His words, think actions, deeds. Are there actions and deeds being talked about here by the Lord Jesus Christ? And lo and behold, you know what you're going to discover? He hooks everything about spiritual things to what appears by actions and deeds. How is that? Well, it's real simple. God's children, led by the Spirit, will act differently than people that are lost and in darkness and following darkness. They will act differently than that group of people if they're walking in the Spirit. Now, I don't say that children of God can't get out there in left field, because they sure can. But listen, what I'm talking about is how God judges a nation and why He judges a nation. And this nation was founded on Christian principles, supposedly. And this nation dares to stand up and claim that it's a Christian nation. And you know what? I got really offended when Barack Obama said a few years back that this is not a Christian nation. But folks, I want to tell you something. He was right. Because a Christian, true Christian nation has a different kind of actions than one that isn't Christian. Go to a big sporting event like football, basketball, or baseball game, and you see that they'll be full of professing Christians on Sunday during church time. This is what I'm talking about. Our nation is full of it. The abortion clinics are full of patients that are professing Christians today. That's what I'm talking about. Is that or is it not? The children of God, or the professing Christians at least, roundabout going after the heathen whom God has charged that we should not do like. You know, you listen in a crowd of people, you listen to a few people talking in a crowd, and you'll notice before long that in a lot of cases, in those crowds of people, the language of professing Christians today is indistinguishable from the language of people that readily admit that they are lost. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's one that we don't think about much in America anymore, but it's pertinent. The divorce courts are full today of professing Christians. And I could just go on and on and on using the precepts of God and point out that in America today, we've got a sin problem. And it's a big one. And the fact of the business is that God judges nations for wickedness. And it doesn't matter whether He's judging the nation because of the wickedness of the saved or the wickedness of the citizens. I say to you that today in America, God is judging this nation for the wickedness of the citizens of America, and He's not distinguishing between the lost and the saved as far as holding them responsible and accountable for what they are acting out. Right. Now, let's go on to verse 16. And they left all the commandments of the Lord. Remember that I'm drawing a parallel between what He's accounting here about Israel and what's going on in America. And each time I read one of these verses, you just try to think whether or not this is really what's happening in America. And I think you'll see that that is exactly what's happening. It may be a little different slant on it, but it's the same transgression against God. It's the same kind of behavior pattern. They left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. Where is that in American society? Well, whether we actually, you have to think about what worshiping an idol is, okay? Because we may have gotten down to the place where we think worshiping an idol is that some human being carves out this little statue or this big statue, and they set it up and call it God and bow down and worship it. That's not idolatry by itself. It is part of idolatry. But idolatry goes far further than that. Idolatry is when a human being puts anything before God and holds it up as something more important than God. Does it ring a bell for America? I believe that it does. Whether we actually consider the habit of putting something before God as far as importance is idolatry or not, the Bible teaches that it is. And we find that in the United States alone, millions of professing Christians do some stuff that shows absolutely that they are worshiping idols. Let's use some illustrations that are close at hand. A lot of Christians this morning skip church to go fishing. Professing Christians skip church to go fishing. Are they or are they not worshiping an idol? I believe you know the answer. Perhaps hundreds, thousands, or millions of professing Christians this morning skip church to go to the beach. Nice hot day, go to the beach. Many, many professing Christians skip church today to go to a sporting event. Are they worshiping an idol? I believe the answer is yes. Many, many professing Christians today perhaps skip church to visit with their family. Who's the idol there, folks? I think it's saying it answers itself. Many, many professing Christians today refuse to tithe in order to have more money to buy things that they like and want. What is that? Are the liked things, the wanted things, the idol of the hour in a case like that or not? I believe they are. Brother Myers, you're really treading on toes now. I don't know that I am in this congregation. You folks are faithful to tithe, and I'm not worried about it. Now, if you do slack on the Lord, well, then your toes need to be stepped on. But I don't believe we have anybody here that does. But I'm pointing out how that millions of professing Christians in America today are going after the heathen and they're making idols and worshiping them. Let's go on to verse 17. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now this pass through the fire that's talked about there, causing their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, this is sacrificing their kids to false gods by having them burn in the fire. You know, they use fire in a lot of these idol worship sessions, and the Israelites got to the place where they were burning their kids up as a sacrifice to that god that they're there worshiping, that false idol. Now, the question is there a modern equivalent to this? If I'm going to dare to challenge and say that what we see here is a type, a parallel with the United States of America, there ought to be a moral equivalent to what I just read about passing their children through their fire. And there is. And here it is. A lot of professed American Christian parents today push their kids to give their time and their energy, their life, if you will, to say something as inane as competitive sports. Skip church to get in competitive sports. Give up serving the Lord to do that workout that's necessary to be in competition. What is that? It's passing their children through the fire. There's many professed American Christian parents today, I believe, that push their children to do all of their focus all their energies and all of their time on some kind of special career education so they can make a lot of money. What are they doing there? They're passing their children through the fire. The aspirations of a career that is inane, that has nothing to do with God, has nothing to do with spiritual things. This is the moral equivalent. Kids in the summertime get all wrapped up in ball games because their parents push and push and push. Oh, they got to play ball. I mean, they have nothing to do but that they get involved in sports and they got to play ball. Next thing you know, they're missing church to go play ball. What is that, folks? I believe it's passing your children through the fire. I believe that's exactly what it is. Oh, we can't go to church next Sunday. And oh, we can't do any study of the Bible. We can't do any witness work. We can't do much praying. We can't do this or we can't do that in the way of spiritual things because we got to prep our little daughter for the pageant, beauty pageant coming up. Folks passing their children through the fire. This is the moral equivalent that we live with today in America, and it's going on among professed Christians. It's bad enough that God has to be angry with the lost segment of American citizenry. But hey, I want to tell you something. He's angry with the saved of God, or those professing salvation today. He's angry with the way they're saying, yeah, I'm a Christian, and then they go through this stuff here that I'm talking about. They pass their children through the fire. They worship idols. They do as the heathen do. Now this verse, verse 17, also speaks of divination and enchantments. We have an equivalent of that today. It's called witchcraft and horoscopes. Yes, it is. What do you think horoscopes are but divination? And enchantments, what do you think they are but witchcraft activities? And so you say, well, okay, he says that the Israelites got involved in this divination and enchantments. Well, Americans are neck deep in a bunch of this stuff. Have you noticed how socially acceptable witches have become in this generation? Isn't that something? I mean, Christians would hardly even use the term witch 50 years ago, but today, why? That's a good witch. Where'd we get that, folks? Where'd that come from? It's the downgrade of the moral responsibility of America to the things of God, to the point that we have a mongrel religion living in this country. And I was just reading last night that horoscopes are the big bang among the American citizens. In fact, there's one website on the internet that boasts 5 million visitors per year to look at their horoscope from the United States. That's just one website. There's dozens of them out there. Dozens. I mean, multiply that times, say, 25 or 30 websites, and you know what size the horoscope seekers are in America. It's enormous. Everybody around seems to be interested in their horoscopes. Divination and enchantment. That is one of the features that God detests, and it is rampant in our American culture. I found a statistic that said 52 million adult Americans who profess some kind of Christian affiliation believe in astrology. 52 million who identify with some Christian religion say that they believe in astrology. That's what I'm talking about. Let's look at verse 20. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. Now, when you look at that right there, realize something. Well, let's read verse 21 and 22 with it so we can kind of summarize the point. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord, and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them. Now, folks, let me just say this before I make my next statement. True believers have the promise from the Lord that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You can depend on that. You really can. God will take care of you, and He'll be with you to the end. But what about the seed of Americans as a class of people? Look at that 20th verse again. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel. Don't you sometimes feel like, because of the way things are going right now in America, that God is rejecting this nation, and in rejecting it the way He has, He's rejecting our children? And when you look at how our children are acting today, as a mass, as a group, there's never been a time in history when kids acted like kids are acting today. You might say, well, the kids have always been renegades and always... Well, they have. But you know what? Guess what? This is the only time in the history of man when an entire nation of this size has had kids that are nothing but a bunch of little criminals, and their parents are encouraging it by the way they handle discipline. And folks, we're in the middle of a time because God will not put up with a nation of rebels. Amen. He will not put up with a nation of rebels. And He has some things in store for America now that our disciplinary program has degraded to the point that parents no longer have any control over their kids. I want to tell you something, folks. God is coming to the place, I really believe it, when He will, in fact, according to this very word, reject the seed of the citizens of the United States of America. I believe it's coming. We can depend on the promise from God that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But you know what? There ain't too many saved folks comes out of a bunch of rebels. There's not. You find rebels going away from God and away from God and away from God, and there's a point, there's a tipping point that rebels get to where God rejects them altogether, and they become a reprobate culture, a reprobate class of people, a reprobate nation. And that's the danger of being a rebel against the things of God. That sooner or later, a nation gets to a place where God says, I'm done. I am done. He's done that with a bunch of nations. Most of you are more familiar with what He did with the Roman Empire than anything else, but there's been other nations that have been dealt with the very same way. Now, notice in this text that Jeroboam pushed Israel to sin. Verse 21, Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. Folks, let me ask you a question about America. You just answer it in your seat there. How many sins are the leaders of our country making us a part of? I don't even want to begin to enumerate the illegal things that the federal government of the United States is doing. If there ever was an outlaw in the world, it is the U.S. federal government. It is an outlaw. The Constitution is meaningless today to most actions by the federal government. Barack Hussein Obama has taught the American federal government how to break the law at every turn and challenge and dare anybody to do anything about it. Barack Hussein Obama, folks, is a modern day Jeroboam. And he has taught America how to sin in a new and deadly way. Because when you defy the laws of your land, and those laws are founded on the idea of Christian principles, you are defying God. And I've said from the very beginning that this man in the White House is defying God. I seriously doubt if he's doing any, if he has in his mind of defying the American people. I believe he has in his mind to defy the living God. I believe that's what his motive is. He is. Amen. And what we have here, just like Jeroboam pushes Israel into sin, and the people adopt those sins and continue in them, we can expect the same kind of thing in America. This government and its leader has taught America how to sin in an awful and serious way, and I doubt if we will come out of this. You know, natural human beings love law breaking. You think about the perverse attitude of the carnal creature. Now the laws have all been created for the most part to stop carnal man from running amok with his behavior. What are their laws about trying men for robbery about? What are their laws about trying men for murder all about? For theft. For everything you can think of. The laws were made for the lawless. Well, let me tell you something, folks. That's been turned around in America. Now, the laws are for the lawless, but it has a whole new meaning. The laws now today are protecting the lawless. And what about law-abiding citizens that watch this go on? Are not they themselves provoked to be tempted to become lawless themselves? I mean, if John Doe out here is going to get away with murder and the law will not come and take him off, if Hillary Clinton is going to lie and steal and kill our soldiers and nobody is going to do a thing about it, why not go out and do whatever you please? That's exactly what the devil will tempt American citizenry to do and is tempting them, and they are starting to do it. Do you see the time? Is there a parallel? I believe there is. Notice verse 23. This went on until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. Now folks, you might say, well, I got you on that, Brother Myers. No parallel there. Follow me. There is. We don't have today a foreign power rounding up Americans and hauling them off to a foreign land, but let me tell you what we do have. Since the Obama administration came into office, and since the Obama administration overthrew the American people, yes, that's what he's done. Barack Hussein Obama has overthrown the American people. You are overthrown. What rights do you have today, folks? What can you do that isn't contradicted by the U.S. federal government? You have no voice. Your vote counts for nothing. What can you do? You have been overthrown by the Obama administration. And at the time of this overthrowing, we find that the government has done some things that really, I think, parallel what God says in the 23rd verse about Israel. Because in this time, the last 7 years, we find that the government has assisted over 20 million federal criminals to come into our country and break federal law. The federal government has helped them to break federal law. We call them illegal aliens. Oh, but you can't call them that. You've got to call them undocumented immigrants. No, folks, they are illegal aliens. And the federal government has promoted and helped and aided and abetted those 20 million plus illegal aliens to come into our country and take it over. Brother Myers, you're encroaching on discrimination here. No, I'm not. The only people that aren't being protected in this big fiasco are the American people like you and me. In the meantime, our government, violating every precept of the law and the Constitution, has populated this nation with 20 million aliens just across the border. In addition to that, Obama is attempting to transfer 250 to 300,000 Muslims per year into the U.S. He's hauling them here in shiploads, folks, as fast as he can pick them up over there and bring them here. What is going on? I'll get to that in a minute. We want to remember that this event, however, and get this, folks, if you're saved, it's important. This event that I've just talked about with illegal aliens is by design of God. And it's paralleled here in our text. But backing up just a minute to verse 23, let's think about this thing of the king of Assyria shipping everybody out. Is there a parallel in America? Well, since the Obama administration overthrew the American people, more than 5 million American citizens have left the United States and renounced their American citizenship. They've gone to Assyria, folks. No, the king didn't load them up in prison cars and haul them there, but he loaded them up with enough stuff that they left on their own. That's exactly what this federal government has done, is driving the American citizen out of America. It is vacating the land so it can fill it with the aliens. That's exactly what has happened. This government and the people that are operating in this conspiracy are designing to repopulate America with a whole different culture of people. You might say, well, that's really stretching. No, it's not. It's exactly what's going on. At the rate the U.S. citizens are leaving America today, you give us another 10 years of this lawless government and 100 million people or more American citizens will have fled out of the country if they're not stopped by the law, which may happen. These Americans weren't carried away and won't be carried out by the king of Assyria or any other king, but they'll go on their own, and it amounts to the same thing. The land is vacated of the American citizen who has his culture in the American background. But remember, again, that work like this is the doing of the Lord for the transgression of a nation. This is what the Lord is allowing to be done to America. And it's paralleled right here. Till the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets, so was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. 50 years from now, there will be no cultural American. It'll be a culture made up of hedonistic, paganistic Latin Americans and jihadist Muslims, folks. That's where we're going. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cuthnah and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That is a parallel today where that this United States government is encouraging, promoting, and passing rules and regulations to make sure that the alien gets here and gets to take over this land. They're repopulating America, folks. This is what we're facing. Now, notice in verse 25, "And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, The nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them because they know not the manner of the God of the land." Folks, there is a parallel here. The foreigners who were put in the land of Samaria didn't know anything about the one true God. And trust me, these illegal aliens and these Muslims that are being dumped in here by the hordes know nothing about the one true God. You might say, well, the Mexicans and the Latin Americans, they're a religious people. Those are Christian nations. No, they're not. If there's some kind of Christianity down there so-called, it's usually Catholicism. They know nothing about the one true God. There's your parallel. So the king of Assyria populated Samaria with heathen and unbelievers. And it's happening in America today. Now, let's read on, verse 26. "Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, The nations which thou hast removed and placed in the city of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, Carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord." It doesn't say, and made them fear the Lord, does it? He just taught them how they're supposed to fear the Lord. Now, there's a parallel in America today. And that is this. I'm gonna bring you this parallel by asking you a question. Do you know, concerning these immigrants that come into America, do you know the one group in America that has more contact with illegal aliens and those other immigrants, the Muslim immigrants, than anybody else? What one group has more contact with these immigrants than anybody else? We call them faith-based organizations. We call them churches and church organizations. And they have more contact with these groups, these immigrant groups, than any other group or entity in America. And guess what? What do you think happens as they dole out their help to these immigrants? Do you think they're going to keep quiet? Or are they going to teach their version of how that these immigrants are supposed to fear the Lord? I think you know the answer. There's your parallel. The same thing that happened to Israel is happening in America. These immigrants are being brought into contact with the priests of the mongrel religion of America called Christianity, God forbid. And they are being taught the mongrel religion. How to fear God according to the mongrel doctrine. That's what they're being taught. Now, these religious institutions, these faith-based organizations, are empowered and sanctioned in what they do by the U.S. government. See the parallel between that, the king of Assyria, and the priests that he sent back into Samaria? There's the connection. There's the parallel. Now, Folks, let me just say this flat-footed. The corrupted religion of America is only going to generate a more corrupted religion in the foreigners who invade our land. Whatever is mongrel being taught out there by faith-based organizations is going to be twice the mongrel when it passes through the immigrants that are coming here. Think of teaching about Jehovah God to a bunch of Allah-worshipping Muslims. That's what they're going to do. Somewhere along the line of that teaching, things are going to come out mongrelized. Either the Muslim religion is, or the so-called Christian religion is, or maybe both. You know that Chrislam is becoming all the craze now in America, a blending of Islam with Christianity. Absurd, but it's there, and it's happening, and folks, we got to face it. The corrupted religion in our country is going to be more corrupted when the foreigners are indoctrinated. Verse 29, howbeit every nation made gods of their own. That's the corruption. Even though they were taught to fear Jehovah, every nation made gods of their own. Those that I listed back there a few verses back. And put them in their houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Succoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak, and Sepharvites burnt their children in fire to Adrammelech, and Adrammelech the god of Sepharvaim. So they feared the Lord, like they'd been taught. How were they taught? Now, if you study this carefully, folks, you'll realize that the priest that was sent back to Samaria, he came from Samaria. And if you track your religious history back far enough, you realize that the whole religion of Samaria, formerly Israel, had become corrupted. They were idolaters. They were calf worshippers and everything else. And they sent one of those priests back to Samaria to teach them how to fear God. How do you reckon he taught them to fear God? What do you reckon he taught them? Well, right here tells us how he taught them. Every nation made gods of their own and put them in their houses, their worship places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods, says verse 33, after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day, they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes, or after their ordinances, or after the law and commandments which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. That's the end product, folks. After it's all said and done, and after the mongrel religion is introduced to these immigrants, these illegal aliens in America, this nation's going to end up just like Israel. They will not serve God. They will not fear God. They will serve their own gods. And that will be the postscript on what has happened to religion and worship of God in America. I am no prophet, but I want to warn you, as God's people, take a little thought for this very thing, because we are trending there, and folks, I think we are inevitably going there. I know of only one thing that can save us, and that is a national repentance and confession of our sin to God, and a turning of this nation back to God. Yes, I said nation, because God honors nations that honor Him, even if they are unbeliever nations. And I'll close with this statement. We as the people of God are the only tool that can be used to make America aware of its peril. We need to be telling our fellow Americans, if America doesn't straighten up, God is going to reject it outright, and it will be the end of this great nation. We need to tell our neighbors that. We need to encourage our neighbors to quit defying God and quit walking contrary to the commandments of God. We need to tell our neighbors that God is the one to be honored as ruler and king. And regardless of what men tell us, we ought to obey God and not men.